Bring Christian greetings to each one this morning and welcome each one to this part of the service. I trust that you've been blessed already, as I have been this morning in our Sunday school hour. Just such a blessing to study the heroes of faith and to look at that last verse. That has just been such a blessing to me in the last number of years. Few years where this opened up, where it says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And consider the implications that are here. He has all these different people that we have a lot of record of, some and some we have hardly anything about. But I think they were all typified in that as workers in God's vineyard that Jesus took the parable from. But at the end of the day, God rewarded those that came when he called and were there faithful unto the end. We're all equal to God. And when I think about that, and the present day advantages that we have, more advantages than any other generation in history. And we realize that he's saying that they, without us, should not be made perfect or complete. It's just really something to realize that we can be in that line if we follow his, if we come when we're called and faithful to the end. Abraham is one of the great people in history. Abraham is venerated by three of the world's great religions. Muslims look to Abraham as a father figure, the Jews do, and the Christians do as well. Abraham is a great man. You talk to a lot of different people. I don't know if the Buddhists have anything to say about Abraham or not, but we have plenty to say, think about Abraham. And there's something that's very significant about them, and we know that in the story of his life. But I'd like to turn and just look at one verse in Genesis chapter 18, I believe. When you depend a little bit on technology, which I depend somewhat on, and it doesn't work at a critical moment, that it puts us at a handicap. So I couldn't print what I wanted to this morning. Abraham, in verse 17, we have God coming to Abraham and making a covenant with him. And then, in chapter 17, and then in chapter 18, we have another connection with God. Abraham is returning, and he promises that Sarah is going to have a son. Hebrews, it says that Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. And what we have written of Sarah earlier is not quite as straightforward as that. And it's interesting, because it says when she heard, she laughed. And it may have been a joyful laugh, but the Bible indicates that it was more of a doubtful one. Can this actually happen? And in verse 14 is a very significant verse where it says, chapter 18, verse 14, it says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's quite a statement, isn't it? You know, God could have probably speeded up the gestation and so on, but he didn't. He said, it's just going to be normal. And at this time, there's going to be a son. And there it was. And that's exactly what happened. Sarah gave birth at the appointed time, and there was Isaac. Well, we know it's interesting to see that when God had first promised Abraham and nothing was happening, that he took a wife. Sarah gave Abraham a wife, and so Ishmael came on the scene. But Ishmael was not God's intended purpose. And so he visited Abraham again and told him that that Sarah is going to have a son. And they couldn't believe it. Abraham also laughed. The Bible doesn't make much mention of that, but it says he did. And then he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? I think it's significant because most of us don't aren't looking to bear children in our old age. We're not looking at that part of it. But some of us are facing big things, health conditions, struggles in other areas. And God has promised that he has the resources to bring us through. And he uses sometimes ordinary means to do that. And he makes this statement that we have recorded, is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, God had a way of working with Abraham that was very significant. And he also, in our Sunday school class, we talked about head knowledge and heart knowledge. And Abraham's life was a journey. And when he went to Egypt and he was threatened there, or he thought he was threatened. He knew, evidently, Sarah was a very beautiful woman, and he knew that they might kill him for her. He told Sarah to tell them that she is his sister so that he could spare his life. So survival was pretty important in Abraham's life, too, just like it is for us. But after a while, Abraham learned this concept that nothing is too hard for God, and he lived by that, because when God told him to offer up Isaac, that's exactly what he did. He took his son of promise that God had promised him, took him up the mountain, and our record of it says that he received him as like from the dead, because he had offered him. And he didn't know how God was going to work, but he had learned by this point that nothing is too hard for God. And so that's where I want to be. I want to be at a point where my life is not that important, but I can believe, I can trust that whatever God has said he will do, and that he will, his purposes will be accomplished. Just a few verses later, in chapter 18, God says this of Abraham. He says, "For I know him, that he will keep that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and that the Lord may bring upon Abraham the thing which he has spoken of him. God says in chapter 18, verse 19, he says, "For I know him." And then in chapters 21, when he offers Isaac, Abraham also knows that he knows God. And that's a beautiful story there all by itself. But we'll leave that. I'd like to just read in closing testimony of someone that was faithful in very difficult situations from the vantage point of present day. Little paragraph from Steve Saint. Our lives have been bought with a price. Our great privilege is to offer ourselves back to God. Consider the old saying, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what is done for Christ will last. In my last conversation with my Aunt Rachel Saint, just before she died, she told me she wasn't a very capable Bible teacher, nor a good linguist, nor much of a Bible translator. She said she couldn't help the jungle people much medicinally. She was sometimes overprotective of the Stone Age tribe she spent the last 36 years of her life with. But when I asked her what she did have that God could use, she gave me this simple formula for living a productive Christian life. She said, first, well, I loved the Lord Jesus with all my heart. And second, I trusted him completely. Then she added, number three, I guess I just learned to persist in doing whatever he gave me to do. What a great formula. What a great formula for living the Christian life. And that's a present day saint, both by name and character. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.